I'm Jenny Galluzzo, co-founder of The Second Shift. Welcome to our podcast where we talk all things women, work, and well-being, how they intersect, our competing forces, and how to create and maintain personal and professional alignment in your life. Let's do this. I'm sensing like an unintentional theme that's been running through the last few podcast episodes. And I'm sure that it's because, well, A, I book this podcast. And so it's what's going on in my brain. And I've been so focused on shift forward and the idea of career transitions and transitions and how you dive into your subconscious and find inspiration and move through setbacks. And I find that a lot of our guests lately, this week included, are people who are within that type of work, whether it was becoming an elegant warrior or making a habit of fun or a life brief. And then this week is no exception. Amy Schoenthal is the author of The Setback Cycle. And she is a marketing and branding strategist and writer for Forbes, who wrote for years about women who had overcome personal and professional setbacks. And within the process of that setback and the resilience it took to move forward, found success out of that inferno. But if you're in a rut or a professional transition or you're in a low moment, you can forge a stronger path forward by failing and by having to go deep within that failure and use it as the fuel for success. And that's a lot of the things that we talk about here on this podcast, because it's a lot of what comes up when we're talking to women in their professional lives who feel unfulfilled or are struggling to make a change or to figure out what they want to do next. You know, there's so many things that come up within this mid-career timeframe that are really interesting. And I see it all the time with the women in The Second Shift who want to talk about, okay, you know, I've been in this kind of job and I took that job because, you know, I had a child and now I'm ready to go back to work, but I don't know if I want to go back to the same job. It's all the same story of transition. And there's different frameworks for how you view it based on where you are and what you're in. And the framework that Amy's outlined is establish, embrace, explore, emerge. And she defines a setback and talks specifically about how that moment of failure or, and it doesn't even have to be a moment, it could be a long time coming, but the feeling that you are not succeeding and going through something really hard, personally or professionally, can be the source of the greatest success you've ever had. And learning how to do that is key towards transforming into success. And I love this idea. I love how many people are really working on this kind of solution for different problems that come up through life, and whatever framework or whatever place you're in, finding one that fits where you are and that is helpful, or if you're like me, kind of doing all of them, is really interesting and can only be helpful. So thank you, Amy. And it's The Setback Cycle. I'm so into what you do. I have been a fan of your Forbes column and series about people who have setbacks and use them as fuel to go forward in their life for success. I'm a big believer in that, like, you know, the obstacle is you kind of thing, and how easy it is to see it in retrospect and how hard it is to see it when you're in it.
Totally, totally, totally. So much of that. Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm just wondering, so your book, The Setback Cycle, is about all of the ways in which, A, it's people who have had setbacks and how they have used it to move forward. And so it's like a good illustration that this actually happens and the myriad ways in which it happens and you don't even know what's happening.
Oh, yeah.
But then breaking that down to see how you can do it in your own life.
Yeah.
Take those lessons and apply it. And What inspired this book? Was it a personal setback or something that you just realized was a commonality?
All those things. Everything you just is what inspired the book. So I, like you said, I've been interviewing people mostly for Forbes, a couple other outlets as well. But what I really like to focus on is their messy middle, the setbacks that led them to where they are today. And I came to that focus because I kept noticing that every time I interviewed someone, the thing that really lit them up and got them excited was when they started talking about climbing out from their setback. I couldn't understand what it was before I arrived at the definition of a setback, which is quite literally a reversal in progress. Because you understand things like post-traumatic growth or like learning from our mistakes. And I couldn't quite wrap my head around what I was seeing because it wasn't always a trauma and it wasn't always a mistake and it wasn't always just like an obstacle. But when I arrived at the definition of a setback, I said, ah, that's it. Because every telling revealed that they were working towards something, they were bumped backwards, they had to reroute, find a new course, and that thing ended up being better than the thing they were originally working towards. That was the formula I kept seeing. And so I started to explore the concept of setbacks and I started reading all these business books and business psychology advice books. And I found little hints of it here and there. There wasn't really anything that was fully dedicated to a setback in general and how to work through it. So I started interviewing executive coaches and psychologists and neuroscientists. And I said, okay, is this a thing? How can we work through it? What's the biology behind it? Like, what's the science behind why this happens if it's such a universal human experience? And that's how I came up with the setback cycle, which is a framework for how people like you and I can work through our own inevitable setbacks, just like these leaders and founders and inspirational people did.
And it's not just about professional setbacks, which is, you know, for our community, something that they're really focused on, but it's also personal setbacks. It's the idea that by embracing and seeing and diving into something that seems like a very big obstacle or something that can be painful, by going through the fire, you build the resilience to have a successful outcome on the other side, and you don't actually have to know what that outcome is.
That's right. But the framework helps you figure out what that outcome might look like.
Okay, so let's go into the framework because then we can dive into setbacks. But there's a very specific framework that you've taken from seeing all of these stories and seeing that there was like a patterning that happens within the setback cycle.
That's exactly right. So the cycle has four phases. Phase one is establish because not everyone realizes when they're going through a setback. So you really have to actively establish that you're in one. Phase two, once you've established that you're in a setback, again, whether it's obvious or not, phase two is embrace. This is the hardest phase because this is where we have to get uncomfortable. And as a society, humans are encouraged to avoid discomfort. And so discomfort and sitting with like why this setback impacted you so much, that's the catalyst for change. That's where the transformation happens. So you kind of have to sit with it. You have to digest the information, hopefully not get caught up in a cycle of like obsession or rumination, but just like glean the information that's useful to you. What did you learn? And how can you move forward? How can you take those learnings and move forward? So embrace is a tricky one, but it's a very important one. Phase three of the setback cycle is explore. This is actually the most fun one, especially after coming out of Emerge, because this is where we're just playing. We're just exploring. We're seizing new opportunities. We're experimenting. We're thinking, you know, what am I good at? How can I find the intersection of my passion and my strength and use that in some really interesting and fulfilling way? And then that's what gets you to phase four of the setback cycle, which is Emerge. You know, that can be tricky too, because it, you know, going from planning to action can be hard. But once you're ready, once you give yourself the space to process your setback and you're ready to step forward, this is that magical end to the setback cycle. And you not only emerge with clarity on that one situation, you gain clarity and the confidence to understand that the next time you find yourself in the setback cycle, you will be able to work through it again. And that's really, really powerful.
Now, let's talk about time frames, because I've had lots of setbacks. And I'm like a big believer in like, you know, whatever, you're going to go through this process and the universe is going to show you the way and all that stuff. But sometimes it could take years to know what path you want to be on or what the right thing for you to do is. And again, as humans, we're not good at sitting in uncomfortable. We want quick fixes. We want like the dopamine hit of new.
Yep.
How do you help people to embrace how long it could take to get to the other side of this? When what's the experience you've seen from the people that you've profiled in terms of like that piece of it or the longevity that this cycle could take?
You're not going to love my answer to this because there is no time frame for the setback cycle. Everyone's setback is unique. You yourself can have a multitude of setbacks that take varying degrees of time. Some people don't even realize they're working through the cycle for years. Some people don't even realize that they worked through the cycle until it's all over. You could get hit with a setback, a really small one, and work through it in 5 minutes. You could work through it in a day. And the bigger ones, the ones you really have to process and take more time and embrace and especially explore, like getting fired from a job, ending a relationship, like those are the bigger ones. That's not going to take you a day. That's going to take you a really long time, months, years. I always tell people too, you know, if you look at the explore phase, you're always trying to find out what more is possible. You're always trying to see like what other options are available. You can be cycling through explore at all times, not just when you're in a setback. And that can help lay the groundwork for, you know, like your safety net. I mean, that's kind of what happened to me. I was perpetually an explore. And when I was laid off from my job, 48 hours after turning in the manuscript for the setback cycle, I had already laid the foundation for my consulting business because it wasn't my first professional setback. 5 years earlier, I returned from maternity leave, a new parent, working mom, so excited to dive back in. And I was told, you no longer will be leading this one account. You will no longer have a leadership role on this project that you spent all that time building from the ground up. So I took that message as stay in your little corner, take the time you need, and figure out how to build your career back up. We're not going to help you. We're not going to assist you in that. We're happy for you. We're very happy. We're happy you're back. Like lots of supportive messages, lots of supportive, like, you've got this. But logistically, that was not the message I received. But I didn't ignore it. I was sad. I was bummed. I didn't realize I was in a setback for a while. But slowly and surely, I started to build up my freelance journalism career. I started getting more visibility because I was writing more. I started interviewing more and more people, more and more high-profile people, speaking on stages, talking to new folks. And I started doing freelance marketing consulting on the side. When I was laid off 5 years later, I already formed my LLC. I had an invoicing system. I had two clients already on retainer. All I had to do was start talking about it. And only like 6 to 8 weeks after I got laid off, I had a full book of clients and I was running my own business. Like it did not take very long. So you can be cycling through explore at all times and you have no idea when that explore phase is just going to end up being your lifeline.
There's so much trust involved in that story and just trusting yourself, trusting timelines, trusting the intuition that you had throughout that process. Your story, I think, is so resonant specifically to our audience who are mid-career professional women who, for whatever reason, maybe the setback is they've taken time out of the workforce. Maybe the setback is they've moved to the suburbs and they have three kids and they can't work full-time. Maybe the setback is wanting a new career or being in an industry that's dying and having to transform your career and yourself after 30 years.
Yep.
There are so many ways in which our demographic of women specifically confronts professional and personal setbacks all the time. And I'm wondering if you could give an example of somebody that you think of as really inspiring, who's a good example in this genre of our demographic. Like, who's inspired you?
So many people. But one that stands out specifically for your community is the story that I share in the intro, and that's of Reshma Saujani.
I've interviewed Reshma. She's a friend. She's fabulous.
She's fabulous. And I think she really just exemplifies the setback cycle so well. That's why she's the first story I share. Her big public setback was actually losing the election back in 2009, she ran for Congress in New York City. She lost the election. She got like really big national attention. It seemed like everyone was rooting for her. And then she failed. She failed by a lot. She lost the vote by a large percentage. And that setback is actually what inspired her to create Girls Who Code, because it was on that campaign trail that she saw the disparity in coding and engineering and computer science, specifically with girls between the ages of 12 through 17. That's why she created Girls Who Code, which has now taught, I think, over 500,000 girls nationwide how to code. That's incredible. That's training, you know, engineers of the future. That's someone who came back from a really major setback, like a public spectacle of loss, of failure. And once she did that, she just realized like she could do anything. And so when the pandemic hit and so many parents, herself included, were at home trying to balance work with parenting, with remote learning, with being tech support for perhaps, you know, aging parents and other family members, like that generation of like mothers with young children was really caught in the middle of a lot of responsibility. I guess they were
yes,
a lot of responsibility
we
put, on our shoulders during that time. And Rushma's, I think her son was in kindergarten. It was like his first year of kindergarten that year. And she kept looking around and saying, okay, like every mom I talk to is, you know, at their wit's end, like it's really bad. The, you know, the media was going, you know, parents can't take this. Mothers have it so bad. And she's like, okay, so if everyone's talking about this, it's a clear problem. Who's doing something about it? She kept waiting for someone to do something about it. No one was doing anything about it. And she said, you know what? No one's going to do anything. I am. And she looked at like a wartime policy from like after World War II called the Marshall Plan. And so she created her own Marshall Plan for moms. And it was basically an economic recovery plan that included all these aspects of relief for parents, including childcare credits and even payments to parents who were not working for pay outside the home, but you know, were holding down all the domestic labor, basically. So they were working very hard, but not getting compensated for it. She wanted to propose compensation for previously unpaid labor. Now, the Marshall Plan for Moms was later renamed Moms First, and now it is basically a group of people who are advocating for better workplace systems, better childcare policies, better support for working parents at the federal and local government level. And so Rushma is just like, I mean, she's incredible. She's such a force, but she's also just someone who is not afraid of a setback. She is not afraid. She knows she can get through it and she's not afraid to go after it. She knew people would criticize the Marshall Plan. She knew people would criticize giving payments for people to compensate them for domestic labor. That's like a big one that I think, you know, we probably all agree like makes sense, but it's very hard to figure out how to actually assign a monetary cost to that. She didn't care. She did it.
How does one become a Rushma? So you've interviewed lots of neuroscientists and, you know, get into what it takes to become somebody who overcomes a setback. And why do some people stop and just get stuck? And some people have the ability to go through the process and come out on top.
That was my biggest question in going through the process of figuring out what the setback cycle could look like and offering actionable takeaways and tips and guidance for readers. So that's the book basically answers that question and gives you like guidance as you work through each of the phases or just like things to consider as you're entering new phases of the setback cycle. But earlier you mentioned like we're uncomfortable with discomfort. We try to avoid discomfort because we're always chasing dopamine hits. The neuroscientist I interviewed pointed out that people who have gone through more setbacks are better at problem solving, reasoning, learning, and recognizing when they're on the wrong track and course correcting more quickly. And so that is a skill that takes time and takes multiple setbacks to create, to adapt, to practice, because when you recognize that you're in the cycle, again, that established phase, phase one, establish. When you recognize that you're going through the setback cycle, you start working through it. When I came back from maternity leave, I ignored it for years. I said, no, I'm fine. Everything's fine. This is fine. I can handle it. everyone loves to, it's find their way through their setback. But back to the neuroscientist, you don't just chase the dopamine hits. You acknowledge when there is a dopamine dip, which is what happens when you enter a setback, because it is in those dips that the transformation happens.
That's really interesting. And I think really important, because you don't really learn that much when you're on the high. When the wind's in your sails,
exactly.
There's nothing to learn.
It's
when
right.
You have to figure out how to, you know, paddle the boat is where you're learning so much. So recognizing that there's value in that time through the second shift, we have thousands of women in our database and we've coached and helped them to figure out how to transition careers or move their lives forward and just launch something we call Shift Forward, which is, it's not akin to the setback cycle, but it's something similar in the sense it's a workshop where it's like a lot of people just lose their confidence in their lives. They don't really know what their vision is or what they want to do. You know, they're just stuck. And part of it is embracing that vision. And part of it is like literally just, these are the baby steps forward. Here's some ways to even find what your passion is. You know, you seem like a person, or Reshma, where you had the motor going, so you could find separate paths and kind of figure out how to move it forward. It's very hard for women who are perfectionistic, who are taught from a really young age about people pleasing, and self-confidence dips so quickly the minute they hit a setback because it's made very personal. And so, you know, I commend you for creating this idea and highlighting the ways in which a lot of people do it. It's hard.
Yeah.
It's hard work, but no one said it was easy.
No. And again, if you embrace the difficulty, you can reframe your difficulty as an opportunity. And that's
the key right there.
That is the key. And, you know, when you get into your moments of just debilitating self-doubt, I have an exercise in the book. One of the chapters is called Name the Asshole in Your Head. And so it explores the concept of the inner critic, that voice that tells you you can't, you shouldn't, you should stay exactly where you are, you should not push forward. Isn't there a saying like, if you're not doing something you're afraid of, like you're not growing, you're not evolving, you're not moving forward? That inner critic wants to hold you back. What you can do to disarm the inner critic is to name it. Give it a name, give it a visual, give it a whole persona. Have it be inspired by someone who has doubted you. My inner critic, her name is Roz. I'm from Long Island, and not like the super nice part.
Me too.
Oh, there you go.
Roz, and I like Roz.
You know Roz. Roz is inspired by like some of my childhood friends' moms who would be like standing on their stoop, on the front stoop, smoking a cigarette going, get in the backyard. You know, that raspy cigarette voice, like, get in the backyard. What do you think you're doing? Don't go that far down the street. Like, don't explore too far. Don't do new things. Just get in the backyard. Stay where you are. And so every time my inner critic, I doubt myself, or I feel like imposter syndrome, or like I don't deserve something, I notice that voice and I say, oh, that's just Roz talking. And I combat her with my inner hype person, whose name is Rhoda, inspired by Mary Tyler Moore's best friend. So you have your inner critic, name it, give it a whole visual. Decide who that is. And then notice that when that negative self-talk comes in, it's just Roz. It's just Roz. It's not you. It should not define you. It's just this voice. You know, acknowledge it, listen to it. Don't silence it, because then it'll come up in other ways. But just know that it is not all defining.
It's a good tip, because it isn't real. It's just an amalgam of people and things that you've brought into your head that are external, and they're just Roz. They're not actually
Roz.
You.
That's right.
I think that's really clever.
Thank you.
I'm going to name mine and come up with a good way to think about it. Cause you know, the second shift, you know, we are a small company. We have been going for 10 years. It's like a constant setback.
Oh yeah. Small business owners, forget it. You guys know how to improve setbacks. Like, you're the champions of setbacks.
And harnessing and marshaling that feeling of like, okay, this isn't going to be the thing that takes us down. we are going to survive. And the first time you go through it, then you realize, oh, remember that time we thought that was the thing? Well, yeah. Now you think it's this thing. And, you know, just allowing it to roll off your back a little bit is something that you learn when you are an entrepreneur, I think especially, but just in life too, you know, when you have kids and you look at your kids and you're like, I thought that was the thing was going to be the worst thing ever. And then you look back 10 years later and you're like,
oh that was
sweetie.
Nothing.
Yeah, that was nothing.
Yeah, exactly.
So, taking yourself out of yourself, creating a framework to look at yourself with perspective and also seeing how all of those things build upon themselves to create resilience.
Exactly. Exactly. That's how you become a Reshma. You notice your inner critic, you continuously explore, you embrace the discomfort, and you acknowledge the moment you're in, and you see it for all its difficulty, but also opportunity.
Silencing the voice is enough to see the opportunity.
Exactly.
And then having the willpower to act on it.
Yeah.
Not being lazy.
But also giving yourself space before you barge forward.
Yeah. You don't want to just act. To act.
Yes, exactly.
You have to be smart about the way you act. Give yourself the grace of time.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. The grace of time is important. Well, thank you so much for your time. I highly recommend the Setback Cycle. I haven't had a chance to read the entire book. I've only read excerpts, but I love going through these kinds of process and seeing the ways that people reframe this idea because it resonates with people at different times and different places, depending on you know, where you are in your life. So I really look forward to going through this process.
I hope your setbacks are not too difficult, and I hope you emerge from them gloriously and with a sense of all that you are capable of.
Thank you so much for joining the conversation. For more, you can follow along at thesecondshift.com. Please rate, review, subscribe, and help us make work work for you and for all women.